Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and internet ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 14 other major languages. Now, for the past few programs of Hope for Today, we've been studying from Luke chapter 21 and verses 5 to 28. Our study is titled, The Coming of the Son of Man. We're still only partway through our text, so we'll continue that study today. As we begin, I remind you that this text provides several clear indicators that will precede the coming of the Son of Man. The first indicator we looked at was spiritual deception. I believe Jesus listed spiritual deception first because it has the greatest potential to destroy us and to destroy our faith in Him. If we succumb to spiritual deception, we may survive physically, but we will be eternally lost. The second indicator that will precede the coming of the Son of Man is political commotion. Jesus pointed His listeners to some things that would happen in the near future, that is, in their lifetime. But He also mentioned some things that would happen in the distant future. And we see our world being prepared for some of those future things. Now, there are several more indicators we want to look at. The next one is religious persecution. To prepare for our teaching, let me read the text, Luke chapter 21 and verses 5 to 28. Then, as some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations, He said, "These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down." So they asked Him, saying, "Teacher, but when will these things be? And what sign will there be when these things are about to take place?" And He said, "Take heed that you do not be deceived. For many will come in My name, saying, 'I am He,' and 'the time has drawn near.' Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then He said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. And there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for My name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. You will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for My name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all the things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, for there will be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. The next indicator of the coming of the Son of Man is religious persecution. In verse 12, Jesus clearly stated that before the wars and commotion, before the earthquakes, the famine, and the diseases, and before the destruction of Jerusalem, the followers of Jesus would experience significant persecution. And we know clearly from the book of Acts and from early church history, that's exactly what happened. After Pentecost, the apostles were called before the religious leaders numerous times, and they were commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. They were imprisoned, both by the religious and civil authorities, for the sake of the gospel. Some of them even gave their lives. The authorities did all they could to stamp out this new sect of Christ followers. But Jesus had specific encouragement and instructions for them during this time. He said their suffering would turn out to be a witness, the Greek word is martyrion, to those who looked on. You know, that's been true down through the centuries, so much so that in certain eras, the authorities executed followers of Christ privately. They did that because when these faithful ones were executed publicly, their testimony brought many more people to faith in Christ. Jesus also instructed them not to prepare their defense beforehand, not to write out or memorize what they were going to say. Now, by the way, this has nothing to do with preaching. Some people say sermons should be spontaneous, like the testimony Jesus commanded here. You shouldn't write anything down in preparation. But I remind you, this text has nothing to do with preaching in the assembly of believers. This is about giving testimony before unbelieving authorities. Then notice Jesus' promise. I will give you both words and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to withstand, and they will go down before the power of Christ. You know, we have an example of this very thing in Acts chapter 6 and verses 8 to 15. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen, Cyrenians, Alexandrians, and those from Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. They also set up false witnesses who said, "This man does not cease to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs which Moses delivered to us." And all who sat in the council, looking steadfastly at him, saw his face as the face of an angel. Jesus warned his disciples they would be betrayed by their most intimate acquaintances, their own family members. You know, the pain of any betrayal is great, but when it comes from those who profess to love you, it's especially excruciating. These betrayals would lead to imprisonment for many, and some would even be put to death by the testimony of their own family members. And they would be hated by all people for the sake of Christ. As Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15 and verses 18 to 21, it will always be so. He said this, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. Jesus' name stands for his complete revelation about himself and who he is, and that's why people hate him. You know, in the Western world, where most of us have known religious freedom all our lives, these are difficult words for us. They're hard words. We see things changing around us with a growing intolerance of truth and moral absolutes. We must realize the freedoms we've enjoyed as the followers of Christ are not the norm. No, they're not. They're an anomaly. Because the vast majority of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world suffer from some form of harassment and persecution. Why should you and I expect to be exempted from suffering as followers of Christ? Then notice Jesus' promise in verses 18 and 19. This is precious. He told them, and us, not a hair of their head would perish. What does that statement remind you of? Well, in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30, Jesus told his followers that their heavenly Father had even the very hairs of their head numbered. This showed to them and to us the extent of divine providence and protection that we enjoy. This promise was given in the context of being willing to give up physical life in order to gain eternal life. So the promise Jesus is giving to the disciples here in our text cannot mean that they wouldn't suffer physically. We know that because some of them were martyred for their faith. The soul is the eternal part of us that cannot be destroyed. The body will die and it will decay. That's inescapable. If not today or tomorrow, at some point all of us will experience physical death. But Jesus was promising them and us spiritual deliverance, spiritual victory. I believe the point becomes clearer with a proper understanding of verse 19. But our discussion of verse 19 will need to wait for the next broadcast of Hope for Today. Lord willing, we'll be back next week to continue this study. In the meantime, if you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Coming of the Son of Man. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this complete teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Coming of the Son of Man, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime at the website, twr360.org. That's twr360.org. When you get there, just type in Hope for Today in the search bar, and you'll find the available teaching. Thousands are logging onto the site each month for spiritual nourishment and blessing. You can join them and be blessed too. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study titled The Coming of the Son of Man. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.